Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means? It means it's episode 163 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric Wahlquist, and I'm here every week, along with this guy, and free drinks for us anyway. Actually, we pay for them, but what's your name?
I'm Jesse Gestradamus Wilson.
Gestradamus. We'll get to that a little later, Gestradamus.
That we will.
Love
I
it
predict.
When I predict we will get to that. How was your week, bud?
Oh, man. Good. I am so in love with FTL.
FTL. Is that Fuck the Life?
No, it's Faster Than Light, which is the new video game that I am so enamored with. I have not had so much fun playing a video game since Skyrim, and possibly beyond that.
I hear this is like the most difficult game ever created, ever devised.
It is super hard, but that's what makes it so fun.
Why? What is the appeal of a difficult game? Because I have been playing Madden nonstop, which is not a difficult game by any means.
No.
But what, what's
because
the appeal?
It inspires you to do better, and the games are pretty quick. Like even when you play like through and you get to the final boss, it takes about an hour. So like if you really get your ass kicked, it'll only take you like 20, 25, 30 minutes to get your ass kicked, and you're just like, okay, I know what my mistakes were. I want to go back and do things a little bit different and have a different experience.
So
it's just so much fun.
What's the what's like what type of game is it?
Well, it's like I mean, that's even hard to explain. You have like your spaceship and you have your dudes on it. And it let me just preface it by saying like everything's all like pixelated and old school and retro graphics.
Right.
So it's like retro graphics, retro music, and it's a lot of fun. So you have like this like top-down schematic of your spaceship, and you have your dudes in there, and like each room does a different thing. Like you have your bridge, and you have your shields room, and your engine room, and your weapons room. And then you go from like location to location, it gives you a map, and every time you play, it's randomized, so you get a different universe each time.
Oh, cool.
And you go from location to location, and you have a different encounter there, like... For the most part, you'll, like, do battle with another ship, but sometimes it'll give you, like, a little paragraph scenario and, like, a do this or do that kind of option. And you're, like, flying around and you're being constantly chased, and it's, like, a resource management thing. You have so much fuel and missiles and drone parts and, like, your hull strength and scrap material, which is kind of like the currency, and you're flying around buying new things, getting new crew members, training them up in different things. But you always feel like you're a couple steps behind because you're trying to stay ahead of this rebel fleet that's catching up to you. And the best analogy I can come up with for gameplay is it feels like the Oregon Trail.
Oh, yeah?
Because, like, tonally in that retro aesthetic, but also, like, you're constantly moving, you're constantly facing these different challenges. And it's like in the Oregon Trail, you had to like go out and hunt for bison and stuff.
Right.
You like have to go out and like fight battles, and it's just it's so much fun. I can't believe how much fun I'm having with it. It's like I go to work, and at work, I'm just like, man, I wish I was at home playing FTL right now.
And you paid a. It's a pretty expensive game, right?
Yeah, I paid a whopping five whoppers. And by whoppers, I mean the cost of a whopper, but. By Whopper, I mean Whopper Jr., because those are 99 cents. So I paid $5.99 for it.
Great analogy. I think we were all with you there.
I'm really the king of analogies,
aren't I? It was like the cost of a Whopper in 97.
Yeah,
I remember when I was a growing boy, my pubescent years, my mom would just bring home like a bag full of Whoppers for me to eat.
Well, that was the thing. I remember when I was a kid, I'm talking like elementary school years.
Yeah.
It was five Whoppers, five fries, $5.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty insane deal.
That's what turned us into a Burger King family. We were definitely a Burger King family growing up.
I was at first, but then we turned into a Jack in the Box family in later years because Jack in the Box ended up edging out Burger King in value per dollar.
Well, that's true. You could get a lot on the value menu there.
Needless to say, FTL is a fantastic game. I think I might have to go back to XCOM to think of a game that I've enjoyed as much as this. It's so fucking fun. And it's cool. What makes it like so good is that it's really fast. Like, I actually got up an hour early. I set my alarm clock an hour early today before I went to work so I could get up and play an hour of it. And, like, I had a very fulfilling... I finished, like, most of the game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it's really fun. I think you'd like it,
FTL.
Eric.
Yeah. Like I said, I got Madden this week because it was my birthday.
Crappy birthday.
Oh, thank you. I'm officially 28 years on this earth. I'm officially in my late 20s, I think.
I'll know what that's... No. You're in the early 20s at 27.
Mid to late 20s, 27.
Okay, here is what it... I have the official thing for this.
Okay.
So it works for any decade. We'll do the 20s, just for an example. 1, 2, 3, early.
Mm-hmm.
4, 5, 6, mid. 7, 8, 9, late.
Okay, so this is between middle and late. It's mid to late.
No, you're in late. As soon as you hit 7, it's late.
Okay.
You get 3 years in each segment.
Well, regardless, I got Madden for my birthday.
Congratulations.
So I've been Maddening, and it's Madden 25, so it's supposed to be celebrating all the previous Maddens. But it will be the last Madden that I purchase, unless they get their heads out of their asses. Because
the last Madden I purchased was the last Madden I'll purchase.
Well, I bought it because I want to play as Russell. I mean, the Seahawks will probably never be better in a Madden game than they will be in this one. Like, I want to play as Russell Wilson. I want to play as RG3. Like, I want...
Peacock.
I'm very excited about all of the... Everything that's happening in the NFL right now. So I want to be a part of that. So I wanted to play Madden because the last Madden I have is Madden 12 and it's all Tavares Jackson and I can't deal with that right now. I need some Russell Wilson. Yeah. So I got this. But you know, my favorite thing to do in Madden is to create teams. Like, I want to create...
Tell me you can still do that.
I wanted to create the Fargo Badlanders again,
right.
Relocate the Steelers to Fargo, make them the Badlanders, and then start a legacy there in Fargo, North Dakota.
Mexico City, right?
Yeah, Mexico City, right? The Mexico City Moctezumas, the Santa Fe Enchanters.
That's right. I love that one.
I love that one too. And then the Vancouver Loonies. And so I wanted to do this again. But the game is, like, completely ridiculous now. So now you have to go into owner mode. Then you have to apply to move. And in the old version, like, when you applied to move, you could skip the entire season and just get to the moving part. Now you have to go in incrementally each week, and it plays out all the games each week. It literally takes 15 minutes to get through an entire season by pressing skip week, skip week, skip week.
Really?
Yeah. And then when you get to the point, you have like five...
Great defensive coordinator, by the way, Skip Week.
Skip Week is... Yeah. I mean, he could run the run option like nobody. But right. But then you get to the point where you can move. You get like six cities to choose from, whereas before you could choose from like any... Like every single state you could relocate to a city in every single state.
And BC in Mexico.
Yeah, apparently. And BC in Mexico. And then on top of that... you don't get to make the uniforms anymore. They have like three pre-made uniforms.
Wow.
So this is literally my favorite part of the game, and they just screwed it up royally. And apparently it wasn't in last year's game either, and I'm just like, I'm never going to buy this game again if I can't make a team. Like,
so
I could...
It wasn't in last year's game, because I tried.
No.
I swear I tried to do all this fun stuff you're always talking about. Like, yeah. I'm apparently not good enough at Madden to figure it out.
No, it's ridiculous. Like, I had to watch a YouTube tutorial to figure out how to do it in the first place, and then it was just awful. Like, it is not... I just want my old Madden back where I can create all these crazy teams and relocate the Steelers because I hate them so much and get them out of Pittsburgh.
I just want quarterback vision.
You like quarterback vision?
Oh, love it.
Oh, my God.
I definitely never played Madden back then.
Yeah, I played with quarterback vision. It was a little rough. That was like Madden 06. But yeah, and then I've been doing Ultimate Team, but that's all bullshit too because it's basically a way for them to get microtransactions in the game. So you open, like, packs
of
Oh, adults,
yeah, no,
them.
That's the worst.
It's the worst. The whole thing, like...
Dude,
it's...
just play FTL. You got rooked on this one.
I did.
Accept your $60 loss and just play FTL. Well, that's seriously, that game is so fucking fun.
It was...
And it's so... This is, like, I love it because it gives you room to get better. Like, I'm playing it on easy mode and I cannot beat the final boss. I can get to the final boss and I feel good when I do. But seriously, like, my first couple playthroughs, I was like, okay, one of my rooms is on fire, so maybe I'll send in a couple of guys to, like, put the fire out. Oh, God. Okay, they're dead. And,
man.
Oh, game over.
Well, I mean, I do take solace in the fact that I did not purchase the game. I got it as a present. So,
oh, okay. That's
and cool. I've still played. I've, like, literally put, like, probably 8 hours into it. So, there's that.
There's that. So, one quick last FTL story.
Yep.
So, I'm flying around, I'm thinking, like, different strategies that you can win, and, like, you can buy an upgrade to your ship where you can send your guys over to their ship to, like, wreak havoc, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that sounds fun, that sounds like a cool way to do it. And, so, I get in this combat with a ship, I'm like, oh, it's kind of a weak ship, I'll figure out how to do this, like, board the enemy combat thing
right
here, because this is a pretty easy battle for me to win. And it was like a robot drone.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, send him over. And then there's no oxygen on that ship. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, they don't have an oxygen room on their ship
right,
at all.
Right, because they're robots.
Because it's just like a drone ship. And yeah, my two of my guys, you have like a crew of, like, if you have six guys, you're doing pretty well. Two
yeah
of them suffocated to death on that ship.
Jeez.
Because of my short-sighted decision to send him over
this
there.
Like
it's just stuff like that that's fun.
It sounds like the Arkham Horror of video games.
It's almost like Arkham Horror meets Oregon Trail in space.
I love it. That should be on the box cover. You know,
yeah,
they sell games in boxes in stores now.
For when I go to Fred Meyer and
exactly
buy it at the software department.
Behind that glass case. All right, let's move on. First of all, I got to do a dedication. We got to dedicate the show to JR from Philly. Guy got married, had a beer wedding. Welcome to the club, JR. And we hope to hear from you soon. But all your beer wedding stuff looked awesome. They had like a custom beer that they handed out as party favors. They had growlers as their centerpieces, and then a prize. One person got to take a growler full home with them, which I think we should have done at our wedding because we had tons of beer left over. That was actually a good idea.
At my wedding, I ran out.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't run out of beer, but I ran out of the good beer.
Yeah, well, and JR, we can't be more happy for you. So congratulations,
yeah, super
JR.
Happy. I wish I could have been there to taste the fantastic homebrew and everything.
Absolutely. And and then Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking a combo. Right now I'm polishing off some free beer from work, and then
right
I'm switching over to some homebrew.
Excellent. And I am drinking vanilla rooibos tea because I have flu-like symptoms.
Uh-oh.
So, might
you
be a little
rough.
Got the I know. It's just the... Yeah, I got... It was delayed Concrud from PAX.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I got it.
Late onset Concrud.
I don't want to say... You know, I'm usually a pretty healthy person, and I don't want to point fingers at anything, but this is like the fourth time I've gotten sick since Lydia started working at the hospital.
Oh,
yeah,
dude. Yeah, that's a real thing. If you work for, or if you live with someone who works at a hospital, or live with someone who works at an elementary school, you're fucked.
Well, this is the thing, is that it's you live with the person who works at a hospital, and they have a super immunity because they never get sick. They're just carrying these germs over to you, and then kissing you on the mouth, and then you get the disease.
Eric, you're two things. All right, first thing. You're forgetting that I live with someone who works at a hospital.
Oh, that's true.
And one time, my mother-in-law works at a hospital, who I live with, because I'm a loser. So she got super-duper sick, awful flu, spread to Tasha, then she got over it, spread to me, I got super-duper sick, then it spread to Elsa, like, wiped out the entire house, one
destroyed
at a time. It was brutal. The second thing is, Eric, isopropyl is a contact sanitizer.
Uh-huh.
if you just keep a little spray bottle of that every time she goes leans in for a smooch when she comes from home from work, just give her a little spritz in the lips and the hands, and you'll be fine.
See, she also said she got her flu shot yesterday, so I think that this is just, I just got the residuals from the flu shot.
Can that happen?
I don't know.
Can you get sick off someone else's flu shot?
It's a live virus.
Yeah, but it's like stunted or something.
I don't know. Anyway, so we'll see how these next few days go, but I'm already having, like, fever, and I'm just super tired. It's like the closest thing to the swine flu that I've experienced.
This will be a great podcast.
Yeah, it should be. It's just going to be a fever dream for me. Speaking of fever dreams, we got a lot of feedback this week, and we're going to get to that throughout the show, but just a few things we want to highlight right here off the bat. Heath Lynch from St. Louis, he said, "Thinking of my favorite Seattle brethren, wish you could be here to enjoy a beer at the game with me. Sorry I haven't called in a while. Started my new job. Things have been crazy. Hope all is well. And I'll be sure to call soon." He sent us some pictures because the Mariners played in St. Louis this past weekend, which is not something that usually happens. They are two teams that are in different leagues, and it's few and far between that the Mariners do play down there at Busch Stadium. But Heath went to the game. Looks like he had great seats, and he sent us some pictures. So thank you, Heath from St. Louis. We got another baseball-related email, and I know Jesse's going to be excited about these, but this comes from Anthony in San Luis Obispo. Says, "Hey guys, I have a couple recommendations for you. Firstly, now that you're diehard Oakland A's fans," that's what you said, right? Because that's what I heard. I'm not a diehard Oakland A's fan. I just find it hard not to root for them. He said, "You need to learn the Bernie lean and be prepared to stand up and do it every time Coco Crisp does anything." Did you see this YouTube video, Jesse, by chance?
No, I didn't.
The Bernie Lean basically is the new official dance of the Personal Arrogance podcast.
Oh, yeah?
And basically, you just lean backwards as far as you can without falling over, and then you just shake your torso so that your arms flop around.
Oh, I can do that.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's actually, I think, very on par with what you usually do when you're dancing.
Who was Coco Crispy?
Coco Crisp is the center fielder for the A's.
Is that his real name?
That is his real name. Coco Crisp, and then there was also Milton Bradley, who was an outfielder. He played for the Mariners.
Wait, his name really Coco Crisp? You kidding?
His name's Coco Crisp, yes.
His name is Coco Crisp.
Yes. That's his name. We got a secondation here. My secondation is an app called Gym Pact. It's a good app to help you get your pan fee on. You basically pledge a certain number of days to work out per week. If you meet that goal, you get paid like a dollar. If you don't, you get charged way more than a dollar. The extra fun part is that you get paid from all of the money collected from people who didn't meet their weekly goal. So far, I made about $40, and it's only taken 127 workouts to do it. Anyway, just wanted to share that stuff with you guys. Keep up the good ish. God bless America, Anthony from SLO.
How do you verify this?
I don't know, but it sounds like an interesting concept. If I monetary encouragement is always a good thing. that always gets me going. We got a few phone calls this week. Let's get to this one. This is, I believe, this is from a new caller, so let's give it a try.
Hey, Eric and Jesse. My name is Jeff, and I've been listening to the podcast for about a month and a half, but this is my first time calling in. My first episode was actually 155, which was right after Eric went to 90s Night, and it was also the day that Jeff Stradamus over there predicted the rise of the Batflex. So good job with that, Jesse. My question and comments for you guys this week. Eric, first of all, in response to my Facebook post last week, I really appreciate you saying you want to see the Yankees get a shot in the playoffs. I'm a huge Yankees fan of Lead Pinstripes. I'm actually watching the game right now. It looks like they're about ready to lose again. But I'm not so sure how they're going to fare, even if they get there. So I'm going to go say go Buccos in the playoffs. Eric, question for you. What is the status on Man, Woman, Beer? Because I'm very excited for that podcast. And last question for you guys is it all right if I feel like buying Arkham Horror so I can play it by myself? Because none of my friends want to play with me. Great job on the podcast, guys. Looking forward to it every week now. And get off my back. I'll talk to you later.
Get off my back, Jeff. So a couple things in there. A ton of baseball talk right off the top, which I'm totally fine with.
That explains why I zoned out the entire time.
I mean, Jeff, I'm not rooting for the Yankees for you. I know you're a diehard Yankees fan. I'm not rooting for the Yankees for the Yankee fans. I don't like the Yankees. I like Ichiro Suzuki. That's why I'm rooting.
The Yankees suck so much.
They do suck so much.
As much as I love Ichiro.
Yep.
I still want the Yankees to lose every game.
Every single game.
Exactly. I'd love to see them go 162 or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's what I realized, is that this is episode 163, which means that at the end of the last episode, we had as many episodes as the Mariners play games in one season. How crazy is that?
What is crazy about that is, shit, they play a fuck ton of games.
I know, it's a ton of games.
They play a ton of games. Yeah.
I say go Buccos as well. I think that it's always good to root for a team that hasn't been there in a while, and I think the Pirates are an exciting team to get behind.
Oh, Buccos.
Yeah, the Buccos.
I thought I was thinking Broncos.
No. And then, Jesse, what's going on with Man-Woman Beer?
I don't know. I need to talk to the overlords of the Bald right. Move Network and see
That's
where
true.
We're at with that.
And then probably the woman as well. She needs to be on board.
Oh, she's already on board.
Okay.
We're ready to go. We're just situating certain logistics.
Okay. Well, call UPS. They're the logistics people. Anyway. So, like I said, we got a bunch more listener feedback. We'll get to it throughout the show, but we need to get this show on the road. So, Jesse, let's get our 20-sided dice ready, and let's do a little time here roll off here. What do you say?
Let us.
All right, we're just going to roll 20-sided dice, see who gets to talk first on the cast, and away we go.
I rolled a whopping two. That's two Whopper Juniors worth of points.
And I rolled two ones right next to each other, which is an 11. How's
you
that
are just a goof
out?
Machine tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's the fever. I literally got the fever. Okay.
You got goof fever.
I got goof fever. Well, this is going to be a very special episode of the Personal Arrogance Podcast because we actually are sisters from another Misters down in Southern California, the Because Show. They are doing a topic exchange with us this week. So they have chosen our topics, and we sent topics down to them, and they're going to be on their show, which is going to be released, I believe, on Friday. So it's kind of a very special thing. We're all part of the Bald Move family, and we like to, help each other out, and I think it's going to be really fun. So they sent us some topics to talk about this week, and the first topic that's on the table, Jesse, this is a barn burner. You ready?
Mm.
What are your thoughts on Franken-pastries such as the Cronut, the Brionut, the Cake Pot, the Cake Pop, and the Krollnut? So, Jesse, are you familiar with these Franken-pastries?
They kind of sound like professional wrestlers to me.
Yeah. I mean, Krollnut.
Watch out for the Krollnut. He'll put you in an arm bar. Which also kind of sounds like a pastry, I guess. That you'll never recover from the diabetic shock.
So the Cronut is something that I think sounds really awesome. It's half.
Do you know what these are?
I'm just Wikipediaing them.
Okay, because this sounds like some sort of City Slicker nonsense to me. I thought maybe you'd know.
Some City Slicker nonsense. So the Cronut is a croissant donut pastry. Developed by Chef Dominic Ansel.
Oh, I've had one of those. They're freaking delicious.
It's a apparently it was created in May of 2013.
Okay. I feel like I've had croissant donuts before.
Well, let's see.
Definitely. 100% certainty. I've gotten them piping hot and fresh from the old bakery in Paulsbo.
Oh,
sure.
Really?
So, this is not a May of 2013 thing.
Okay. Well, it was in New York, so that's really when it was important.
See, these New Yorkers.
I know.
They're like, if you can't get it at Yankee Stadium, it basically doesn't exist.
Yeah, most New Yorkers just get all of their food at Yankee Stadium.
Hey, I'm out of Top Ramen and Salt. Better run down to Yankee Stadium.
Right. Go to the salt cart. The guy just throws salt. He's got a big...
he's got a big... with giant granules of salt.
A big bucket of salt, and he just throws it at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to chip it down. And then the Brionut is a confection Which
okay, so I don't really know the difference between a baker, like a baked good and a confection.
I think that they're both the same thing.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. This one was done by Anthony Valerio in Southern California, and this is a cousin to the Cronut named the Brionut, made with brioche dough that is laminated into layers and then fried. Oh, God, this sounds so good. Brioche? I'm not really sure what brioche is.
I don't know.
This is a journey of experimentation for us tonight.
I barely know the difference between baklava and balaclava.
Are you serious? That's a joke.
I know that if there's a clown in the room, either way you're going to end up wearing it on your face.
Wow. Okay. A brioche is a bun. It's a French bun with egg and butter content to give it a rich and tender crumb. So, yeah. Basically croissant. It's basically French.
Eggs and butter. Sounds delicious.
Yeah, eggs and butter. Actually, that does sound good.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'm just going to, like, take heroin and then I'm going to, like, I'm going to pound it out into a thin layer and then wrap it around some ecstasy and then drizzle on top some cocaine and alcohol. And then I'm going to just garnish it with a little side of sex.
Yeah, and then fry it.
Then deep fat fry it.
Just deep fat fry that.
And that fat is analogy for fat.
Exactly.
Because fat is delicious.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's basically what these guys are doing. So you have the Brionut, you have the Cronut, you have the Cake Pop. These are all amalgamations of things that people love, and you're just going to put them together in a centrifuge and then see what ends up on the bottom.
Yeah, you're going to see what condenses.
Right.
And then you're going to extract that and create some sort of superfood.
Exactly.
It's like the Breaking Bad of pastries.
Exactly. And
it's Baking Bad.
Oh, man. Oh, the puns. So what we need to do here, Jesse, because obviously you and I don't even know the difference between a baked good and a confection. So I think what we need to do is figure out if we were going to create these amalgamated foods, what would they be?
Well, actually, Eric, I've kind of already been doing this.
Okay.
So I have I've been creating like sort of the super breakfast Sammy.
Oh, interesting.
Lately.
Yeah.
I've been kind of on this breakfast Sammy kick.
Oh yeah.
So every morning I whip out my cast iron.
Uh-huh.
Which is that not a euphemism. And it's coated in grease. Again, not a euphemism.
Right, right.
And I fry an egg, and I fry it on, like, medium-low heat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't get going too hot. And then I bake some toast.
Right.
And then
you bake
once
the
toast...
You bake it?
I toast the toast in the toaster.
I was like, how much time do you have? That's some low heat.
Well, enough to get an hour and a half of FTL in.
Right.
I wake up very early.
Perfect.
But so I make the toast, and then I put mayonnaise and pesto on it, and then my egg is still cooking. Then I slice up some cheese, melt cheese on top of the egg once I flip it once.
Yep.
And then I also have been frying up salami.
Oh yeah. Oh
and
yeah.
Put the salami on the sandwich also.
Salami is such an underrated meat.
How? It's not underrated. It's the god of all meats, and everyone knows it.
It's so good. Ugh.
I'm nuts for salami. but then I put this all in the sandwich, and then I cut it diagonally.
Right.
And, like, since I cooked the egg on a slow setting, it kind of, like, goops out that, like, half-cooked yolk.
That's what you want.
So good.
That's what you want.
That's my own personal brioche.
Briona. Yeah, brioche. Well, I mean, that's the thing, though. This is a sandwich, which technically you could... This is, like, the original bro-nut is the sandwich. The bro-nut.
The bro-nut.
The original bro nut.
That sounds really gross.
It sounds super gross.
The bro nut.
But you gotta name this thing, dude.
The bro nut would just be like, you know, like the Bismarck?
Mm-hmm.
So does the whole nation call it the Bismarck, or is it the Boston Cream?
I don't know.
Anyway, you got the cream-filled donut. If it was just filled with natty ice.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is that it's...
That would be the bro nut.
Yeah, the bro nut is just a natty ice with a donut around it. So you can drink the natty ice and then eat the donut as you're drinking it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you gotta name this thing, dude. So it's gotta have a cool, sexy name.
I call it the Sammy So Sammy.
The Sammy So Sammy?
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's what I call it.
Yeah. I used to do this thing when I was a kid, too, because like my parents would leave me
at
daycare.
The Pentagon of Waffles. I know where this is going.
No, the Pentagon was that's a whole different thing. But the Pentagon is just waffles and butter. It's just a lot of waffles and butter. But, dude, if they made the Waff Nut, it's a donut.
Why don't they make the Waff
Nut? Yeah, the Waff Nut, dude. It's a donut that's made out of Eggo waffles and butter. Deep fried. Oh my god, the deep fried Pentagon.
The sounds like it could be a division of the German Air Force that maybe got a couple war crimes racked up against
the
it.
Yep. But there were some aces that were made shooting down the Waffnut.
Made and lost, yeah.
But yeah, when I was a kid, my mom would drop me off at daycare every day, and they used to, you know, make you generic food. Generic kid food. So, like, there was the macaroni and cheese, peas, and applesauce. And I used to just swirl all that stuff together. It's actually a pretty good tasty treat.
Macaroni and cheese, peas, and applesauce?
Yeah.
In with it.
Just all together.
Okay, so I have a good one.
Yep.
From my college days.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I did not create this.
Okay.
But one time I was at a college party.
Okay.
And I arrived at it pretty late, which you get that, like, sort of... You feel like an adventurer because everyone's all shit-faced. And like, you're pretty sober and you're just experiencing
right.
a party at right. its, you know, at its climax.
Is this before you could purchase alcohol by yourself or not?
No, I think I was probably 21. I was at the oldest 21, though.
Yeah.
But I wasn't... I think I must have been 21 or because I wasn't, like, super jazzed up on just getting drunk.
Right.
You know?
Because that's what I would do is, like, if I get in that situation, then it's just, like, quickest path to drunk town.
Right. But once you've kind of gotten over that hump, you can really appreciate drunks being... not drunks, but just people being drunk.
Right.
And the kind of surreal experience it is. When you are the sober person among drunks... And there was this girl who came up to me, and she was eating something out of a bowl.
Okay.
And I was intrigued about what it was, because it looked like she was eating applesauce. And she was like, I have Jack Daniels, but I ran out of mixer, so I just mixed it with this applesauce.
Oh,
I call it Apple Jacks.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, do you want some? I was like... Yeah, kind of. I do.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
Wow, Apple Jacks.
So Apple Jacks definitely is up there in terms of the food smash-ups.
Well, I'm excited. Now I'm going to be thinking about this. I got to think of a good food smash-up in the future. But I'm with you, dude. Just make an epic sandwich, and that's basically all the food smash-up I need.
I feel like the sandwich is the original smash-up.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because someone was like, let's take a knife to this bread and use it as, like, plates that we can eat.
Yeah, and legendarily, that was the Earl of Sandwich.
Exactly, the Earl of Sandwich, who was possibly eclipsed only by the Earl of Cardigan.
Probably.
In terms of fantastic earls who have their legacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you eat a sandwich while wearing a cardigan, and your name is Earl, that's like some sort of like super like trifecta. That could possibly create a black hole, I think.
Yeah, definitely. A super massive black hole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Located at CERN.
Well, I'm excited about these. I'm excited about these mashups. I'm going to keep my eye out for them.
See, and, I'm not going to be able to find one. Like I said, why? This is some sort of City Slicker deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not. I'm just talking about, like, I want to find the diamond in the rough, like the Applejacks.
Mm.
I'm not going on the tourist route. I am going to be hitting the trenches.
So you're not into the pastry.
Well, it's just, you know, it's just, I'm not.
How many
pastries
do you think you eat a month?
I actually eat quite a few.
Because, do you?
Yeah, I'm a cheese Danish guy.
Oh, cheese Danishes are so good.
They're so good.
Or the Rose of the Prophet Muhammad, as I like to call them.
Why?
Remember when that Danish cartoonist?
Oh, like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Sorry, that was kind of a deep.
That was pretty deep,
dude. That was a little bit of a deep
goof. Very topical for, like, 2006.
Yeah.
Back when quarterback vision was in vogue.
You know, I peaked there, and I choose not to get out of that mindset.
Exactly. All right, well, let's move on to the second topic of the show. And the second topic that Geraldine from the Picuzz Show has served up for this, Jesse, you get to take the lead on this one. Please describe the worst date you've ever been on.
Oh, God, I don't know if I can really talk about this.
Why?
Because I have a wife that I don't want my wife to know about my bad dates.
Well, this is just, you're married now. I mean, this is all in the past. And it's a bad date. It's not like
I live in a lifestyle where my wife is the first and only woman I've ever known.
Right, exactly.
At all. Even spoken to.
Well, I have one, so I'll go ahead.
Okay.
And
I'll think of one I can rattle off.
Okay. Well, so this was a date. This was our third date, me and this lady. And this was our third date. And so I was trying to do some cool stuff. It was here in Seattle, and I was like, okay, we'll do the underground tour, cuz I've never done the underground tour, and it's just kind of a thing, right? It's just a thing to do. So we go down to Pioneer Square, which is like the oldest part of Seattle, and basically they take you through like this underground section, because back in the day they had like these, I don't know why they built it underground, but there's like this whole underground city, and basically all the buildings were built on top of it, but you can go down there, there's all this Old West stuff that's underneath Pioneer Square. So we went and park, and then we get out, and it's raining, and I brought an umbrella, but I completely forgot it in the car. So we go on this tour, and it was just raining the whole time, and there were rats, and it was kind of it just wasn't as cool as we thought it would be.
There's gonna be rats,
right? There's gonna be rats, guys. Also,
it said that on the brochure.
Yeah,
to be fair.
Also, I wore the dumbest shirt ever, and you always feel bad when you're in a dumb shirt. And like,
what was your dumb shirt? I'm wearing a dumb shirt right now, so I want to know.
Yeah, but this was a date. Like, it wasn't really a shirt. It was like a it was a Zoo York track jacket, but it was like a cotton track jacket. So
I didn't know that they made those.
Yeah, it was a cotton pinstripe Zoo York track jacket, which also was not good in the rain. So it was a dumb shirt, and then afterward the date was like, well, let's drive down because my friend's band is playing in Tacoma.
Oh,
so we drove all the way down to Tacoma, which is like a 45-minute drive, and we get all the way down there. I think I got lost on the way, actually. I was coming out of Pioneer Square, and I ended up crossing I-90, and then we went down 405. So I got lost in driving to Tacoma, which is weird, because I used to live there. Anyway,
and literally, you take I-5, and you're there.
Right, yeah. So we got to the bar, and it was, like, super loud, so we couldn't really talk to each other. After the bar, and I knew the guy in the band, too, so we got together afterward, and we were sitting there with him and his wife, and I ordered these elk sliders because I wanted some sliders. I was hungry. So I ordered these elk sliders at the bar.
Nothing says I'm a reasonable human being than ordering elk.
Exactly. So it's kind of loud in there and stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's literally like a record scratch. It was like, and then the bartender gets over the gets over the intercom, and she goes, Eric Wahlquist.
Oh, God.
Eric Wahlquist, we have your elk slider. I think they didn't know where I was sitting. So it was just really awkward. It was just the most awkward thing. So then we get out, and we get out of Tacoma. And as we're getting in the car, like, there was a fight that happened outside the bar, and these two dudes just, like, tackle each other onto my hood of my car.
Oh, wow.
And this is in Tacoma. I used to live here. This is on 6th Avenue, and I know that there are cops that just patrol this avenue all night. And I was just like, let's get out of here before the cops show up. So there wasn't any damage to the car. But anyway, we drove back, and the moral of the story, I think, though, is comes from the happy ending, because I actually ended up marrying this lady.
Yep. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. So anyway, the we call that our infamous third date. But it was just like, it was just like awkward thing after awkward.
I call it the third and out.
Right. It was just the awkward thing after awkward thing after awkward thing. Yeah, it was definitely third and out. Because, like, first date went great, second date was pretty good, and then third date was just a flop of all flops. That I remember before getting in, before getting out, and, you know, I was sitting in front of her apartment, and I was about to get out of the car, and I just, like, look in the mirror, and I was like, just be Don Draper, dude. Just be Don fucking Draper. And that was the worst advice I've ever given myself. Yeah, that I'm sitting there in my cotton track jacket. Oh, God, it was just rough. Anyway, but like I said, it all turned out great because we ended up getting married. And now she's my wife, and she's stuck with me forever.
Well,
even if I do get another cotton track jacket.
I think it was written into your vows that you're not allowed to.
I think so, too.
I distinctly remember hearing that one.
Yeah. All right, so what's yours, bud?
So I have one. I'll keep this brief.
Okay.
I met a girl on the internet and went out on a date with her.
Right.
And it wasn't really like a date, let's go somewhere. She just invited me over and we're like watching a movie.
Okay.
Like in her living room, and her roommate and her roommate's significant other boyfriend was there too. So it was like the group of us.
Okay.
And we're hanging out, and she keeps like,
you never met this girl before?
No.
Okay.
First time.
Okay.
And she keeps like scooching over towards me and like trying to like, well, for lack of a better way to put it, mm-hmm. Stick her tongue in my ear.
Okay.
And give me some of that action.
Right.
Which was extremely, 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 extremely uncomfortable for me.
That you're not into that.
Well, perhaps, but not with a stranger and
context.
Two other strangers in the very same room.
Strange
when we're watching
context.
Oh, the movie was that movie about like working at a restaurant and it has Dane Cook in it.
Waiting,
yeah. And then she was talking to me, and she lets it slip that, because I didn't know it at the time, but I had met her before.
Okay.
Because she had been my dentist, like, dental hygienist.
Okay. In Bremerton?
So, no, this is in Bellingham.
Oh, okay.
So, she, recognized me.
Uh-huh.
And like when she was like courting me through this website or whatever, and
okay.
She let it slip that she recognized me, and she went through my dental record.
Dude, that's why she was going for the ear. She's like, I got to avoid
the mouth.
The mouth
is nasty.
I have to avoid the mouth.
I've seen the charts on this mouth, and yeah. No thank you.
No thank you on the mouth. Let's try the ear.
Yeah, I'll take the ear, please.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, so I actually got out of there pretty lickety split after the credits rolled on waiting because I was extremely creeped out. Super, super creepy.
And that's why I've never been back to the dentist since.
Yeah, I will let my teeth rot out. I'll pull out my own rotten teeth with pliers before
Dude.
I go back to one of those creepy harpies at the dental office.
That is so crazy that she, like, looked you up on... like.
And she told me about
but
it.
But did, like, she notice you in the chair, or did she see you online and make the correlation?
I think she saw me online and made the correlation.
Wow. Well, Bellingham's a small town.
It is a small town, and that was really gross.
Yikes.
Yeah. Okay. Did not like that one.
That's pretty...
That's like a huge invasion of privacy.
That is a huge... I think that's also, like, pretty illegal.
Probably. Yeah. Let's not forget about Hippocrates and his oath.
It's at least mildly illegal.
It's immoral.
Yeah.
Certainly.
I went through your dental records? That's insane.
Yeah, right? Oh, and I was like, thank God. That was like... I went to that dentist once, so...
Wow, you made quite an impression.
Apparently. Those incisors, man. That was so weird.
All right. Well, let's move on to our break. So, last week we talked about some new words that that there weren't any correlations to the English language of. And this week, Kevin Cobb decided to write into us.
Oh, Arizona quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. actually, he's from San Bernardino now, Kevin Cobb. This guy's from San Bernardino. He said he wrote us an email. He says, you guys suggested last week that you wanted people to try and use the untranslatable words, but instead I wanted to ask you guys to make up a word for one of the phenomenons that we do not have a word for. What would be a good word to describe the experience of driving somewhere and then you realize that you do not remember driving there because you do it often out of habit? A slight twist on the same thing a slight twist on the same thing would be when I'm talking to somebody while driving away from my house and I just start driving to work because I'm not focusing on my destination and I'm just driving from muscle memory. One last thing I wanted to ask, if you guys watched The League, it's hilarious and it's on Netflix. Yes, I watched The League and I love it and I've watched every episode and I am mildly gearing my fit. This is what I want the Arrogant Move Fantasy Football League to eventually become. But Jesse...
Ah.
I think there already is a word for this. It's called highway hypnosis. It's like when you get somewhere and you don't remember the ride.
Yeah.
But that term sucks because it doesn't make any sense. I think we could come up with a better term.
I'm calling it GP somnia.
Okay.
Because it's like you're an insomniac.
Right.
You can't sleep, but you don't know when you're awake. Mixed with a little GPS action. GPSomnia.
Oh, I like it. The GPS. Global Positioning Insomnia. Wow. Okay. I wanted to...
Global Position Somnia.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of incorporate... Because it's kind of like, you know, people say when you have a vivid drug experience that you're on a trip. But this is basically like you go on a trip... But you're not on drugs.
Right, right.
It's like a weird experience that you don't really remember that well, but you know that you went from point A to point B, whether it was in your mind or on the road. So I'm just going to call it a trippy.
A little trippy.
Just had a trippy. And then the muscle memory where you just end up driving to work instead of driving where you think you're going. This happens to me... Actually, quite often. The thing that happens to me is that, like, if I get in a parking spot and I back into the parking spot, when I get in the car and turn on the car, I automatically pop my car into reverse because that's what I'm used to do is, like, pulling out of parking spots. But if I've backed into the parking spot, I'm, like, up against the car that's behind me. So I always, like, have this false moment of, like, letting off the brake and realizing I'm rolling backwards and then having to slam on the brake and be like, oh, yeah, I backed into the spot, not pulled into it. So I'm going to call it, I like the idea of muscle memory. I also like the idea of muscle cars. So I'm just going to call it a car muscle. Car muscle. But all one word. And it's got karma in there as well. Any thoughts?
I'm drawing a blank on this one.
All right, there you go. Well, that's the kind of great stuff you get at a break from the Personal Arrogance Podcast. let's move on to...
A break, am I right? Because, like, cars have breaks.
Oh, hell no. Okay, so let's move on to the third topic that Geraldine has sent to us. This is the third and final topic from Geraldine. She says, what is something that has been gone for a long time that you wish would make a comeback? And this is just kind of like the nerd's dream. Basically, that's all we live off of is nostalgia, right? For a large portion of it. I mean, that's why we get so excited when something new comes out. Because basically everything in the nerd world now is all nostalgia-based. It's like Mario or
FTL.
Yeah, FTL is totally nostalgia-based. But like, every superhero movie that comes out, it's all based off of some canon that's been established a long time ago. The Bible... that whole Bible fad.
Okay, I got a couple of them here.
Okay, yeah.
So, one, the battleship. Nothing was cooler than the battleship. You got this big, wide, ironclad piece of muscle that you could sail around the world, and guess what? You had like 15, 16, 20 big-ass fucking cannons.
Right.
And you built a battleship with big cannons? Guess what? Our cannons are slightly bigger. But then World War II rolls around, and all of our, like, diesel-powered Iowa-class battleships, like, they don't really matter. It's like, okay, you can roll them up on some sort of island and do some sort of shore bombardment, fine, like, what really won the war was the aircraft carrier and submarines.
Okay.
Aircraft carriers, pretty cool.
Pretty
cool. Not gonna lie.
Fighter come on, planes dude, it's an airport cool. on a boat.
Boats, a boat where you can land a plane on it, definitely cool.
Okay, fine.
But submarines are pretty weak. Like,
why are they weak?
I'm gonna sail around in this little like sliver of a thing, and then I have torpedoes, and oh, there's a battle, gotta go down. I'm stealth. Like, that's lame.
I love your imitation of a submarine.
It's pretty lame. I want the battleship to make a comeback because it's cool. Just like on this boat, I sit on the top of the water.
Okay.
And I'm gonna sail from here to there, and I got so many cannons that it makes me a badass. And I'm gonna impose my political will on you by sending one of these there.
Okay.
So, one, that's cool. Two, what I really want to make a comeback is swords.
Oh, wow.
Swords are sweet.
Okay.
Swords, I think, are, like, the craziest thing. One of the craziest things in, like, human history.
Why?
Because in isolated areas around the world, people were like, hey, we can melt these rocks down into, like, this metal stuff, and we can make it pretty sharp, and then we can use that to kill fools.
Like it everywhere in the world.
And yeah, and one of the craziest things about history ever is you have two completely isolated societies that are fairly advanced. Medieval era, you have ye olde knights in shining armor in England with their long swords and their mounted combat, and their code of honor called chivalry,
right,
and their feudalistic honor-based society. Meanwhile, absolutely no contact, zero contact. Move halfway across the world to Japan. You have these mounted warriors with suits of armor and crazy swords, and this code of honor called Bushido, and this feudalistic society. They're exactly the fucking same. It's all based off of making these sharp, pointy things out of a crazy metal.
Right.
And, like, there's nothing so absolutely crazy, as far as I'm concerned, in history, as the similarity between knights and samurai. And it's all based off of the sword. And then some, like, doofus in China was like, this thing blows up. If we put this blow-up thing in a tube with a rock in front of it, we can kill anyone. And then that's all out the window. All of the cool honor and the sword play and the mountain, whatever, it's all gone because, like, I got this explodey tube. Bam, you're dead. Cool armor. There's a tiny hole in it. But I just wanted, I want swords to be back. I would love to see, like, battles, like, taking place between swordsmen and, like, just, I want to go back to that. That's what I would like to see make a comeback.
Okay, so mostly just war from Jesse.
Battleships right. and swords. That's what I want.
Blood and bombs.
I'm fine. I'll take that over, like, anthrax and drones.
Well, there you go. by the way, Jesse, I think that this man-woman beer podcast, I think you might have a better thing on your hand. Jesse imitates history. Well, I'm a submarine and I'm underwater.
Oh, that ship looks pretty tough. Well, gotta dive.
By the way, Jesse, how many submarines were sunk by aircraft carriers? And how many aircraft carriers were sunk by submarines?
I'm not sure what point you're trying to make.
Okay. One thing that I would like to see make a comeback...
apparently depth charges. Again, that's another one for me.
Mm-hmm. I have an idea, and I would actually love to implement this idea like in the U District, because I think in a college area, it would be a hit. And this is the automat. Do you know what an automat is?
No.
So an automat is like, these were very prevalent like in the early 1900s all the way up to, like, especially in big cities. But yeah, like early 1900s all the way up to like the 50s and the 60s. They still have them in certain areas of the world, especially like Northern Europe. They're still pretty popular. But basically what an automat is that you go in, and then there's like this big wall of little compartments. Like, and they all have a little door on them. And they also have some kind of payment system. And each of these little compartments has some food item in them. So you could have like spaghetti in this one, and pizza in that one, and hot dogs in this one, and whatever you want. And then you pay for the compartment you want. You open the compartment, you get the food in it. So it's basically like a giant vending machine except for meals. And you don't have to have a cashier. You just have people in the back making food and then putting it in these compartments. And then people walk up and then they pick what they want and then they instantly get it. It's instant fast food. And
pretty sweet.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
And you get to know what it is beforehand, or is it some sort of chance?
Well, maybe there's a mystery box.
I want the mystery box.
Yeah. But the idea here is that, like, you could have, like, every type of food. Like, every single type of food. And I was thinking, like, you could definitely tailor this to modern day. So first of all, the idea of freshness comes into play here, because you want the food that's the freshest, right?
Oh, but there could be like a timer, and the price goes down based off of how long it's been in there.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. So you could wait around. Like, it becomes a little bit of a game, right?
I love that.
So you're like, waiting. Oh, I only got $2.
But there's someone else eyeballing that.
Right. And so it's like a reverse auction.
17 minutes.
Yeah, it's a reverse auction. And so you're like sitting there, and another dude's sitting there, and you're like, what is the lowest, what's the highest price I will pay for this item?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So there's that. And then once it gets down to zero, it's like 99 cents. Everything at zero is 99 cents.
But shit, it was 99 cents.
Exactly. I got the spaghetti dinner for 99 cents. And then I also like the idea of turning into like an Amazon Dropbox. So like you can pre-order it, and then you can get a code for the box for one of the compartments.
This is a really good idea.
So you can just walk down.
You
can
just
order
go
online
and you place your order. It's
place
like it'll be ready in 7 minutes,
right.
And then it goes on. From 7 to 10 minutes, it's locked up with this code. But from 10 on, it's public domain.
Exactly, yeah. That's perfect, because that way you're not wasting food if they never come and pick it up.
Right, yeah, then it just goes on to the block.
Right. Oh, God, you could even have, like, a name-your-own price. So, like, if you pay the premium price, then you get it. You just get it. Like, you get the code and it never unlocks. But if you pay something lower, then it'll all be available for 3 minutes for you.
Dinner negotiator.
Right. But I think this would be a hit in a college town.
Totally.
Like, you basically have the automat on one side of the room, and then you have a bunch of arcade machines on the other side. So people
or
can
laundry
get in.
Machines.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah, it's an automat laundromat.
Exactly. Double mat action.
Double mat.
Matt Roloff's there, too.
Dude,
he
double
owns
mat.
It.
Yeah, just call it the double mat. That's something that I would love.
The mat attack.
And then the other thing, like, and I feel like we kind of missed out on this in our era, but I'm always extremely intrigued by the general store, like the Old West general store. Mm. And I guess that that's basically what Walmart
is. It's like 7-Eleven.
Yeah, or like Fred Meyer. I'm thinking like bigger, because like you could literally get whatever you wanted. You get like
well,
shoes
I don't know if that's true.
Or coffee. But it was like whatever was in there.
I think you could get some stuff, but I wouldn't say whatever you wanted.
I just like the idea of being able to go into a store and buy a horse. That's basically it.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we got four horses in the back.
It all comes back to the Oregon Trail. You're like, horses or oxen, yoke,
right?
I guess I have to go down the road for the Conestoga wagon, but
right.
I'll load up on oxen while I'm here.
I just think there's a certain amount of romance around that, and I just love the Old West, too. Like, I have a very fond... I love Westerns. I love anything that's associated with the Old West, so...
It'd be great, but I would have been so dead.
Yeah?
I would have been dead as hell if I lived back then.
Why? Because you would have been sunburned?
Not just... Well, sunburns would have made me uncomfortable during my death, but I would be dead for other reasons.
Like what? Sword fighting?
One, the amount of sword fights I tried to get into.
Right.
Certainly did not work out. No, like my appendicitis would have
got
me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
And also, I like to run my mouth. So
yeah, that would probably.
And I'm small, and I'm not good with weapons. So
see, I feel like I would have been a prime lumberjack. Like, and back then,
you
like,
got a lot of leverage with your swing.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And I come from a like that's what my ancestors did when they came over from Sweden. They basically that's the reason why I live in the Pacific Northwest is because.
Have you never had something that would have killed you?
No. I haven't even broke any bones.
What?
I broke my nose once, but I haven't broken any bones in my body.
That's right. Yeah. No, I would have been dead from my appendicitis for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I have allergies, but I think that in the Old West, I probably wouldn't have had allergies. Because
yeah,
you're not dealing with things like smog and toxins and whatever.
Right. Eric, your body is a sponge full
right?
of toxins.
Yeah. It would have been so nice. I would have just been a lumberjack, probably would have died from a tree falling on me. Yeah, it's all good.
No, I think you would have done good. I wouldn't have done very well. You would also have been like the tallest guy west
exactly.
of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
So that would be cool.
Totally.
got the freak show option.
I would be pretty tall for that time period.
Yeah, certainly.
All right, well, Gerilyn, I want to thank Gerilyn so much for sending these topics. I really enjoyed talking about them. And also, be sure to check out the Because Show. They are, like we said, our sister podcast on the Ball Move Network. Three ladies down in Los Angeles talking about, well, definitely talking about these kind of topics, but about everything else under the sun. So be sure to check them
out. Podcast is so fun.
It's really fun, and they're very wise, I feel.
They're super wise, and their lives are really interesting.
Super interesting.
More so than ours.
Definitely more interesting than ours.
Yeah.
So, check out the Because Show. And especially check it out this week. If you haven't listened to it before, this is the perfect week to listen to it. Because guess what? We get to pick their topics this week.
Oh, so, turnabout is fair play.
Exactly.
Because that was part of the deal.
Exactly. All right. So, for our final topic tonight, we actually got a very common theme from a couple of voicemails. So, we'll start with Mike from Texas.
Hey, guys. This is Mike from Texas, and I love beer. Here's my dilemma. My family and friends only drink mass-produced, mass-marketed light beer in cans. I at least try to mix it up a bit, so I'm the weird one. I don't want to be a poser, so I'm considering turning into a legitimate beer snob, just kind of turning heel on them. I come to you humbly, since you're the experts. Other than loving beer and avoiding the stuff in TV commercials, where do I start my adventure towards beer snobbery? I'm prepared to tell all my friends and family to get off my back. So, Eric and Jesse, point me in the right direction. Thanks, guys.
Oh, Mike, you're so cool. And then we got this one from across the pond.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Eric. Sam Gottman-Hamady from London here. Got a few points I want to talk to you about. It's been a couple of weeks since I've got in touch via Facebook or voicemail. But yeah, so it's my birthday on the weekend, and I was trying to think of things to do. Ended up watching several episodes of Breaking Bad, but I kind of felt like, up to this point, I've been listening to you guys talking about craft beer, and I'm still pretty much a craft beer virgin, so I thought this was the perfect day to start doing a bit of tasting, and I suppose I went for the obvious. I went for a Samuel Adams, and I went for a Blue Moon, and personally, Samuel Adams, I didn't like at all, but I really enjoyed the Blue Moon. It was very smooth, very tasty. But I've got a few other ones which I haven't tasted yet, so next time I give you a message, I'll, if you haven't tasted these, and I'll try and give a perhaps a little review. I've got at the moment two different ones by, I hope I don't butcher this name, Einstok Olgerd, which is a Icelandic craft beer company.
Awesome.
And I've got some White Ale, and to be honest, I don't remember what the other one is in the other room, so I won't be able to tell you. Sorry about that. But yeah, that's the first point. And to be honest, just thank you for always talking about craft beer. It's really got me hooked to try and, you know, finally get into tasting some. You know, I've spoken before about me enjoying the things like Shandy and Poor Man's Mimosa, you know, orange and beer, so it's about time I made a step up to just having full beer.
Well, thank you, Sam. I always appreciate you giving us a call from across the pond. Very common theme this week from two completely different places, London and Texas.
What's so different about that?
Oh, you're right. They're basically the same. I mean, they're sovereign nations, right? London is a sovereign nation.
I think so.
But yeah, basically people want to know how to become beer snobs. And I'm glad that we are beer snobs, I guess, now. I guess we've been identified as beer snobs. What? Well, you are definitely a beer snob.
No, I'm not a beer snob.
I think you are. I thought you were questioning my beer snobbery because I thought you were the given.
You got to be fucking kidding me.
Okay.
Okay, so the difference between a snob and a geek is a snob only drinks certain things, like, oh, I'll only drink this beer and that other beer is below me. I'll drink any, I will literally drink anything.
Okay.
If you put, like, one of those red 5-gallon canisters of gasoline in front of me, I'll be like, yeah, it tastes good. Love it.
So
love it.
Next time we all get together, I'm just going to buy a 30-pack of Milwaukee's Best Light. You will be happy with that.
I'm a beast, man. I'll drink it.
Okay.
Dude, I'll drink Milwaukee's Best. I'll drink Rainier. I'll drink PBR. I'll drink Budweiser. Whatever. It's fine.
Okay. Okay. Well,
I'm not a snob. I'm a geek.
Well,
I just love knowledge of beer and experiencing the whole realm it has to offer, from good to bad and everything in between.
Well, so anyway, but if people want to branch out a little more, maybe not become full-fledged beer snobs, although Mike does sound like he wants to become one, what are some things that people could do to kind of broaden their horizons?
Yeah, I like Mike's approach because sometimes you have to be a snob in order to get your point across. But for one thing, Mike, if your family is not into it, they're just not going to be into it.
Yep.
And it's not worth trying to convince them otherwise. You need to learn to appreciate it and experience it and, you know, be fulfilled by craft beer without needing other people to also.
Well, and I think that's what he was saying. I think that he, much like the mighty humpback whale, is now swimming
going
away
off
from
solo.
Its mother. Yes. Ready to breach.
So I think a good way to start is there's some kind of like neutral beers out there that are really, really good but aren't going to be super offensive to your palate, so to speak. So like ambers, nut brown ales, all like brown ales in general, and American pales are a great place to start.
Yeah.
IPAs can be a little tough because they're like super bitter.
Right.
But like your palate will adapt to that.
Yes.
So, and then, you know, porters and stouts can be also a little bit rough just because they're sweet and heavy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find that middle ground, like the ambers, as I said, American pales, Hefeweizens are a good place to start too.
Yeah. I think that a great thing to do is figure out what kind of craft beer you like. And one of the things that I would really recommend is go to a brewery. And just about every brewery you go to, any tasting room or any pub, brew pub that you go to, is going to have a tasting tray where you can try like every beer that they have there, and they'll have little shooters of them.
Yeah,
and that's a good way to just kind of figure out what beer you like, what style you like, and then once you find a style you like, then you go to the store and you just start buying every single version of that beer, and then eventually you'll get a wider palate, and then it'll start like that ship at the carnival, the ship ride. It'll just start rocking higher and higher, and then you'll be branching out more and more.
Yeah, great analogy.
Thank you.
You basically got three approaches here. You have the grocery store,
right?
You have the beer bar, and you have the brewery.
Yeah.
So the grocery store is great because it's super accessible. You can just go there after work, pick up a 6-pack or pick up a 22, and just like start, you know, hammering away.
Right.
I haven't had this, so I'm going to try it. I haven't had this, so I'm going to try it. And once you have like a style, like Eric said, a style that you are kind of gravitating to, try everything in that style and decide which you like.
Right.
And then once you figure out like, this is my favorite of this style, and it's this brewery, you know, I'm going to try this other thing that they do.
Right, yeah.
So you got that's the grocery store method. You got the go to the brewery method, which I love.
Yes.
Obviously, I work at a brewery.
Yep.
You can go to a brewery if they have, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 different styles. You can try a little bit of everything, and, you know, you can get a flight, or you can get samplers, however they want to say it, and you can try a little bit of everything they offer. And then, what's cool about that is you'll be like, okay, so a stout is a totally different style from an IPA, but when I drink this brewery stout and IPA right next to each other, I can kind of detect the similarities.
Yeah.
And you get to understand, like, okay, this is what this brewery is about. This is kind of their thing from, you know, be it like maltiness or the similar type of hops that they use in each of their styles, or especially their yeast, because your yeast is your heart and soul of your beer. Like,
absolutely.
I can taste similar, you know, esters in their IPA and their stout, even though they're so different, they're kind of like tied together by this similarity. And then you have the beer bar approach. And I love beer bars. Go to a beer bar and just, because there you can try like a schooner, like 10 ounces of this, 10 ounces of that. If they find a place that has good rotating taps.
Yep.
And, you know, you'll go there on Monday, and then you'll go there on Friday, and it'll be, like, a totally different selection. And it's a great way to just sample different stuff. And packaged beer, you know, bottled beer is different than draft beer. Draft beer is, like, a more pure form, right, in my opinion.
Do the draft if you can.
Do the draft if you can. And don't be afraid to ask for tasters.
Right.
Be like, can I try a little bit of this? And they'll give you a little taster. If you don't like it, be like, can I try a little bit of this other one? And then if you do like that one, you know, get 10 or 16 ounces of it.
Yeah, and you know, that's basically, I like what Sam's doing here too. I would just say, if you're trying to get into beer, into the craft beer world, just like set a mark. Say, I want 30 beers, okay? I want to try 30 different beers over the next 2 months.
Right.
And then just start checking them off. Every time you do it, just get a little tick mark in your phone or whatever.
Yeah.
And try 30 different beers. And then after you've done that, you'll have, like, your favorite beer will emerge out of there. And then you can do all this stuff in branching out. I think that that's kind of a good approach, too. Just try as many different beers as you can.
Yeah. When I was really starting to get into beer, my New Year's resolution that year was to try 100 different beers. And I had it done by, like, March.
Nicely done.
It was so exciting. It's fun. I mean, that's really the only way to do it is to try a bunch of different beers.
Yep.
And maybe you don't like it, then, you know, move on. But that's what's great about beer bars is...
The funny thing about beer bars, like, I don't... Like, if I go to a beer bar, I'll usually try to order something I've never had before. Like, that's kind of my thing. But even if I don't like the beer, I'll still drink the whole thing.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's like not a complete waste if I don't like the beer, because I will still drink it.
It's fine, you know, if you don't buy a six-pack.
Right, exactly.
Because it's just one beer. Drink one beer, like it or not, whatever, it's done.
One thing that I would recommend against is buying sampler packs at the supermarket.
Yeah, unless you know you really like the brewery, don't buy a sampler pack.
Yeah, there's always one beer in there that's not good, and you're just wasting your money on those ones.
Yeah, unless you're buying the Widmer.
Yeah, the Widmer one's good. Actually, the Bridgeport one is pretty good, too.
Oh, I bet Bridgeport's such a good brewery. But yeah, like, different breweries have, like, their own kind of flair and style and stuff that they'll lend to different styles. And, yeah, it's fun. Get into that, but really all you can do is just drink a bunch of beer.
Just drink it, man. Just drink a ton.
Yeah.
Please drink responsibly.
Yeah, don't... If you drink a ton, don't drive much.
God.
Kidding.
Kidding, guys. All right, so let's move on. We're going to get to our Facebook roundup, but before we do, we'll talk a little bit more about the Bald Move Network. Guys, Breaking Bad is insane right now. People are saying that the Rosie Medias episode is the greatest episode of television ever.
Oh, did you hear what George R. R. Martin said about it?
What'd he say?
He said, I don't know if he... I don't know which method of communication he used, if it was Twitter or what, but he was like, there's no one in Westeros who's as evil as Walter White.
Wow.
And he said, I need to change that. So that's
challenge
exciting
accepted.
For Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad.
Challenge accepted. So anyway, but if you want to get all the coverage on that, of course you know Breaking Good Podcast. It is your best source for Breaking Bad stuff. You get the Instant Take podcast the night that the show airs, and then you're going to get the full-fledged episode just 2 days later. So Breaking Good Podcast at BaldMove.com. Of course, we talked about the Because Show, the ladies down there. Be sure to listen to them. Up Yours Downstairs for all of your Edwardian television coverage. Check that out. And then we're on there as well. Oh, and then there's also a new podcast that's on there. It's called Get Off My Running Back. It features me talking to people about football. We got the first episode up, and we will have the next one up on Friday. So get ready for the weekend of football by listening to us. And God damn it, I'm so excited about the Seahawks.
I really enjoyed that podcast he did with Aaron.
Thank you.
Aaron really knows his shit about football, man. That guy is a cult, and that wasn't like some sort of veiled insult to
you. Okay,
I'm just saying, like, Aaron is like a Colts fanatic.
He is. He could tell you like the starting players on the 96 Colts.
Yeah. It's like if you have a conversation with him, like I know Aaron pretty well, and it would like never come up. He would never broach the subject. It's like his own secret treasure trove of knowledge.
See, I knew about it.
Yeah, if you throw the flags out there, he will pick up on it and engage you. But, like, honestly, like, if you didn't know him at all and you had, like, a serious conversation with him, you would never really I would have never taken him for, like, such a football fan. Oh. And not just a football fan, but, like, an encyclopedia.
Yeah, we went to a Mariners game last year when he came up for PAX, and he wore like full Colts garb to the Mariners game. It was awesome. So check that out.
It's a sporting event. Fuck it.
Yeah.
It's like, who's that guy wearing the Colts gear at the PGA Tour? A-Rod.
Well, I mean, Indiana doesn't have a baseball team, so. And then also get all of the
Andrew Luck. With all the strikes he throws downfield.
Great job.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm Chris Collinsworth, signing out.
Let's get to the Facebook roundup. Each week we post on Facebook, ask us what you would like us to talk about, and we talk about it. James Patterson says, we haven't had any singing recently. My wife likes the Aaron Martinez song, and it would be cool if you wrote jingles on demand.
Wait.
What?
You're owed a jingle, right?
What?
Am I not mistaken?
I am owed a jingle. This comes from the Arrogant Move Fantasy Football League. So this week, I was destroying Aaron Martinez. And
which is a good name for a song.
Yeah, destroying Aaron Martinez. And
destroying Aaron Martinez.
I don't mean to rub it in too much, but he did say that he was going to crush me on our message board. So I was destroying him. It's up by 40.
Well, he crushed you on the message board.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't crush you on the fantasy football board.
Well, anyway, I was up by 45 points going into the last game, and all he had was the Pittsburgh defense playing. So his defense needed to score 45 points to win. And so I did a little wager with him. Actually, this was Sunday night, so the Seahawks hadn't played yet either. So the only player I had left was Steven Hauschka, the kicker for the Seahawks, and the only player he had left was the Pittsburgh defense. So I made a side bet with him, and I said, whoever gets the most points between Steven Hauschka and the Pittsburgh defense, the loser has to write the winner a song. Steven Hauschka put up 11 points. Pittsburgh defense put up 2 points.
What?
Yeah.
How do you get so few points?
He gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points.
Wow.
So, anyway, Aaron Martinez is going to be writing us a song. But James Patterson says, here's your challenge. Write one for my baby daughter, Coraline. Coraline, you're feeling fine. Coraline, go drink some wine.
Oh, come on.
Don't drink wine. Because you're a baby named Coraline. Not my best work, but I do it.
We'll take another pass at this next week. Eric will do better.
I'm in the middle of a fever dream right now. So I would be so happy also you guys plan to touch on the Olin Guido and Indiana Jones reboot ideas. Keep reminding us, James. We'll get to that eventually, I promise. Rob Zip says, do you like Pokemon?
Yes.
Yes, I like Pokemon. I was a big fan when it came out. I like the card game. I like the Nintendo Game Boy game. Pokemon Red. Let's do it. Chris Mansfield. I think it's only right to talk about GTA 5 since it just released yesterday. I've only
$800 million.
$800 million. Insane. How can you like
$1 million?
It's crazy to me that people are still making movies.
Yeah, no, I mean, movies are like, dying. Like, yeah. This is... in, like, 50, 60 years, people are going to look back on this, like, the 20s, like right. the movies where they didn't have sound, like... like...
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, a movie makes $47 million. It's, like, a pretty big... It's a pretty big success. $800 million in one day.
$800 million. That's like how much money we spend on the war every day for the last 10 years.
But everybody spent that on GTA.
Everyone decided to stop buying bombs and tanks.
Right,
and
for
soldiers.
One day and buy
Grand Theft Auto.
This has guns and tanks in it.
Yeah.
GTA, I mean, it's the biggest thing ever. That being said, I'm not going to buy it for like probably a year.
I won't buy it until I get it off Steam sale for like $15 or $10.
I'm on this rotation where I kind of wait for the price to drop before I buy a game. So mm-hmm. I just got Borderlands 2, which is a year old game, but I just got it on Amazon for $15.
Cool.
So that's my, and then my next one is going to be Bioshock Infinite. I'm going to wait for the price to drop on that. It's already down to $40. And then after Bioshock Infinite, then GTA 5.
You should buy FTL.
Jonathan Droz.
Dude, you would really like it, Eric.
I'm sure, but I'm not a big PC guy. Jonathan Droz says, first I'd like to congratulate JR from Philly for getting married. We already did that, Jonathan.
Idiot.
It was the best wedding I've ever been to. I drank way too much of Brewworks Devious Pumpkin. Finally, to my question, have you guys heard about the new TV show called Brew Dogs? It looks awesome. It's about time that there is a show dedicated to beer, Brew Dogs. Have you heard about this?
I have. I don't really know what it's about, but they
like
did
a reality show.
They did the show with the guy from Dogfish Head called Brewmasters, and it went tits up after like 4 episodes.
I'm just assuming this will be on Netflix eventually.
Thing is, guys, professional brewing is boring. It's really fucking boring. It's not very interesting. Here's the most interesting part of my day is figuring, like, calculating how much malt will get me exactly to my intended pre-boil gravity. And then when I get there, doing a little, like, yes to myself. Like, I made it. Sweet.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
It's pretty fucking boring. And then it's like, all right, now it's going to be in fermentation for a sweet 2 weeks.
All right. Well, Chris Rogers says, why does iTunes hate your podcast and that I can never, ever download to my phone but have to stream it off the Bald Move webpage? Am I the only one who has a problem? I don't have that problem. I don't know. Like, iTunes is a piece of shit. It's one of the worst programs ever created. I think we've all...
After Skype.
Yeah, after Skype. Joe Green, Breaking Bad, the only thing that matters right now. Check out Breaking Good Podcast. Christian William Maurer says, Salt Lake had its first Comic-Con this past week. They were expecting to attract about 40,000 people and ended up attracting 80,000, making it the largest inaugural Comic-Con and the third largest Comic-Con ever. Bit of hometown pride. That's insane.
Yeah, that's...
Dude, Mormons love comics.
Salt Lake City must be a boring-ass town.
There's like as many people at PAX. That's crazy.
That is, I hope that they had enough things is
for
crazy.
I hope they had enough things for those people to do.
Probably not. It was probably overcrowded and stinky and lines are long.
And we'll see.
Anyone could get 80,000 people to do anything, but making it worthwhile is what is, you know, necessary.
That's pretty... It'd be cool. I think next year, you know, if they got that, they're really going to bring the thunder, though, so... Sam, once again, says iPhone 5S or 5C, which one should we be buying? I kind of like the 5C, but it doesn't come in black, which I think is ridiculous, because it's only $100, but then the gold one looks cool, the 5S gold one looks cool. I don't know, I'm upgrading in April, so I don't know which one I'm going to get. But the 5C, it's a good value, but I feel like people are going to think you're a cheapskate if you get it. Basically a big, like, they made it bright neon color so that basically people are like, oh, look at that guy's phone, it's cheap, it's only $100 worth of phone. Anyway,
I have the clamshell phone.
Josh Perigo says, met my wife for lunch today at a nicer restaurant and the waiter had some pretty epic BO. We could smell it every time he passed by and for minutes afterwards. Wow, that's lingering. Worse than a punch in the face.
Yes, worse than a punch in the face. Yes. And no, you don't tip 18% for that?
Yeah, well, I just always tip.
You tip like 0% and where it says tip, you know, you use instead of writing in a tip amount, like $2, you write in, use some speed stick, please, or something like that.
Well, that's pretty passive aggressive.
Or you just be like, excuse me, garçon, you smell like straight ass. You're putting your stinky armpit ass fumes on my burrito right now, and I don't appreciate that.
Oh, man.
And then you go, manager, this is a stinky waiter.
Jeez, this is like public shaming. This guy's just trying to make a buck, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, apparently he should be in a mine, not in a restaurant.
Wow, that's... Now we just lost all of our mining listeners.
No, that's one thing I want to bring back, is mining.
Oh. Like old-timey coal mining?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. I'm sorry. And then, he says, and how should, 18%. I don't know. I always tip 20% just for karma.
You tip 20%?
Yeah, because it's easy to calculate in Seattle, because tax is 10%. So you just double the tax.
You're getting goofed on that one.
All right, Amy Baker finally says...
Wait, no, the tax is like 16%.
No, tax is 9.8% in Seattle.
Debatable.
Not debatable.
Do you tip on drinks?
I tip a dollar a drink.
So, like, you get your bill back, it's $44.
Right.
Do you subtract the drinks before you tip?
If I'm at a restaurant, I tip 20%. If I'm at a bar, I tip a dollar a drink.
Well, you city slickers.
What can you do? All right, Amy Baker finally says, anyone heard of Animal Crossing? I'm asking for a friend. You ever play Animal Crossing?
No, but I think I would really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think I would too. That seems like the type of game that would just suck you in like crazy.
Yeah, from what I hear about, especially the newest iteration, it doesn't really suck you in too much. It just like incentivizes you to play a little bit,
right?
Like every week.
Yeah.
It's not like you play all day, every day or anything, but yeah, I think I would enjoy Animal Crossing.
It's not like the type of thing you'd wake up an hour early to play.
No, definitely not. That'd be FTL for sure.
All right, let's get to some recommendations. Call it a cast. Jesse, what's your first reco?
I don't have any lined up, so I think you know what I'm going to say.
What's that?
Swords!
My first reco actually, coincidentally, is The League. There is a new season that's available on there. You can watch like 45 episodes of it, and I just love that show. I binge watch it like crazy. The League is on Netflix. Watch it. What's your seco reco?
Let me just say, I actually do have one of my wind swords on my lap this entire time.
Okay.
So I'm not bullshitting when I say I love swords.
That's not a euphemism, right?
No.
Okay.
Because it's a long sword that I have that's made out of wood on my lap.
Great.
Jesus Christ, good Eric. One. Get your mind out of the gutter. So my second recommendation is battleships. What can I say?
Yeah.
Build more of them, nations of the world.
My second recommendation, I fulfilled a childhood dream yesterday. I bought my first pair of Air Jordans. And I've been rocking Air Jordans lately, meaning today, and it was cool.
Can you call them Eric Jordans?
Yeah. That's a good idea. So Eric Jordans, my second recommendation. I think this podcast has run its course for this episode. Jesse, you have a good night.
Thank
Listener,
you.
Thank you for all your feedback this week, and keep it coming. Oh, we should probably let you know you can email us, personalergots@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. And follow us on Facebook. We're on the Facebook Bald Moon Facebook page and the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. Find us there. We love you so much. Once again, thank you to The Because Show for being awesome and sending us our topics this week. Tune in to The Because Show this week to hear the topics we left for them.
I'm very excited about that.
I'm very excited about it as well. And finally, guys, remember that wherever you go...
And whatever you do...
Please stay... arrogant.
Buy a lot of swords. The